Good afternoon. My name is Joe Lapham, bar number 35061, and I represent the appellant, plaintiff appellant, Victoria Ortega in this case. Trying to get directly to the point, I believe that the issue in this case is whether the jury failed in its function by disregarding some undisputed evidence when it awarded plaintiff all past medical bills and nothing for non-economic damages or impairment. As a way of background, this was an automobile collision case where my client claimed injury, especially to her neck following a car crash. The case was tried last January, and the jury came back with a verdict of $5,070.44, which was the exact amount of her past medical bills. In this case, the part of the undisputed evidence was that she did sustain a neck injury, which involved her C5, 6, C6, 7, bulges and herniations. All experts, including the defense doctor, testified that her neck injury was a result of the March 1, 2005 collision, that the neck injury resulted in symptoms such as burning neck pain, numbness into her hand, an arm, weakness in her hand grip.
Did Dr. Sabin say that? I know Dr. Sabin said there was an aggravation of the prior degenerative problem, but I guess I don't recall Dr. Sabin saying she had all the symptomology or buying off on that.
I believe Dr. Sabin did say that. And I'm referring to a question that I asked him. It was a video deposition. The question I asked him was, so I'm starting to narrow down a few more things. And so also your opinion would be that from the March 1, 2005 collision, that collision caused radicular complaints of hand numbness and weakness. Is that correct? And his answer was yes.
Did he testify at all, counsel, about whether he thought that the plaintiff likely suffered pain or conversely, whether this would have cleared up very quickly? I'm just asking about Dr. Sabin now. I know there was other evidence.
Yes. Also, Dr. Sabin also testified, and again, it was through my cross-examination. It's your opinion, based on the records review, that are subjective complaints, meaning complaints of pain, complaints of weakness and numbness, matched up with the objective findings of the MRI? And his answer was yeah.
Now, right, I remember that. Did he testify, though, about how long the symptoms would have lasted? I seem to recall something about that, you know, likely could have cleared up quickly. She didn't get treatment for a long time.
He had some general statements, not necessarily towards the plaintiff, some general statements regarding disc bulges in general, that sometimes over time those disc bulges may retreat back in. And so his only thing was, before I would do a ACDF, which is the two-level fusion, that I would do another repeat MRI. He never testified to, well, these symptoms, you know, typically last 10 years, 3 years, or anything like that.
Why in this case couldn't, I think, and correct me please if I got the record wrong, there was evidence, it seems, on both sides. I mean, and most of the evidence, as I get it, of pain came from the plaintiff herself. Now, her own physical therapist testified in some ways that contradicted the plaintiff's testimony about the lawn mowing and some other things. Why wasn't the evidence such that the jury could have decided your client wasn't credible in terms of pain and suffering and just decided if she had some pain, it was de minimis?
Well, there was other testimony other than just the plaintiff's testimony. There was testimony from Robert C. DeBaca, who lived with her at the time of the collision, that testified to the problems that he saw her having. Obviously, pain complaints nobody can really testify to other than the plaintiff. I think there was testimony with regard to, you know, these are the type of symptoms that would follow from this type of injury. Dr. Sabin, again, the defense doctor, indicated that, you know, her subjective symptoms of weakness in her hand, of numbness, of the tingling, of the burning sensation, all correlated to the objective findings of the MRI. So, you know, to answer your question, it's hard for me in the sense that pain is a subjective thing that only we kind of experience. The best thing that we can do to show pain is, as I guess as plaintiff's lawyers, is try to show through other people and that's what we tried to do. There, of course, all the, you know, all of her doctors will, you know, testify that she had this pain and that pain, but again, that's from her own tellings to them. The only way that we really have to correlate that stuff is when we look at the MRI, which we were lucky to have in this case.
But why wasn't the jury free to say, I think she may have had some pain, it was a low-impact accident, I think it was de minimis? Why couldn't the jury have made that finding?
Well, I think that there was no evidence just to say that this was just a small collision. Now, there's something referenced in the defendant's brief regarding Dr. Hamernick. Dr. Hamernick is not a doctor. He's an engineer that just said this was a low-impact case. There was no medical evidence to show that this was just a small, that this was a small injury or de minimis injury. This was an injury, according to all the doctors, that would likely require a two-level fusion. In order to go in and do a two-level fusion, which is a surgical intervention that you're taken out for, you know, 3 months or so, they're not going to go. Doctors aren't going to go ahead and do that if you only have a very small injury. Now, you know, the unfortunate part for Ms. Ortega is she didn't have any insurance. She had no way to pay for this 50-some thousand dollar procedure, and that's why she didn't get it in this case. So, you know, although it was recommended both by her doctor and the doctor that was hired by the defendant to testify.
How about her testimony that she was, excuse me, gardening? She was pulling weeds. She hurt when she mowed the lawn, which indicated that she was able to engage in some routine activities.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that she was able to do some routine activities with the pain and problems that she had, I think it's just an attribute to her. Unfortunately, when, you know, these things happen, you know, we have to go on with our everyday lives. So it's hard for me to say that because she was able to do some things that she was able to before, doesn't mean that she didn't have these major problems where she couldn't even pull up the covers at night. She had to have her husband help her. She couldn't go grocery shopping, carry her own purse. She had to have her husband carry her purse for her, carry the bags in. She had a lot of issues, but at the same time, life goes on. I mean, we have to do the best we can when we're injured. And so, you know, while it does show that she did do some things, I think that's more of a credit to her than it is to say, look, oh, well, she wasn't injured. I think that answered your question, sort of. I'm trying.
I think the point is that what Judge Gabriel keeps driving at is there is evidence that goes one way, and it seems to me there's evidence that goes the other way. And a jury is the fact finder, and we need a pretty solid ground before we can overturn the jury's verdict.
Well, and I think that this, you know, this issue isn't without precedent. There are numerous cases out there that talk about what happens when you have a non-economic damage, no non-economic damages, but you have an award for all economic damages, including all past medical bills. And one of them is Denton versus Navrati, and that was a case where the jury awarded a car repair bill and medical expenses only, in spite of testimony that all of the plaintiff's pain and injuries were corroborated by the defendant's own doctor and the plaintiff's doctor. We had no specific evidence in this case that her pain, that her symptoms, that her injuries were not related to this accident.
There was pre-existing injury, right?
There was not a pre-existing injury. I mean,
or degenerative.
There's degenerative, which is the normal aging. I mean, you and I both have degenerative disc right now. One of us may be in pain, the other one may not. But Dr. Sabin actually did a really good job of going through the degeneration stuff and said, look, you know, she had some degeneration, but it is likely that the bulges in her disc came from the accident. I mean, he specifically said that in his testimony. So, and there was also these prior incidents that were referenced that Dr. Sabin dismissed and said, well, you know, I noticed that there were some things in there, but from an orthopedic perspective, they didn't play into my understanding that her injuries were related to the collision. In fact, her neck injury was directly related to the collision. There was some innuendo regarding there were some gaps in treatment. Dr. Sabin again explained that away and said, well, you know, we didn't know really what would happen there, but at the same time, They were the same symptoms she was having right after the accident, and she continued to have. I'd like to reserve the rest of the time for rebuttal, if that's okay.
Thank you, counsel.
Good afternoon. My name is Teresa Seymour, 18420. I'm with the law firm of Patterson, Ness & Seymour. The appellant in this case is asking for a new trial. And to get there, you must find that the trial court abused his discretion when he denied the motion for new trial and the JNOV. As Judge Gabriel has pointed out, there is evidence that would support this verdict in the jury's decision. There's big treatment gaps. Dr. Sabin's testimony is conflicting. Dr. Prahl says, I had to rely on her history. I've never met her before. The physical therapist's notes, which were in evidence and the jury had, are very telling because they say contrary things to what the appellee testified to, the appellant testified to. For instance, she said she could not mow, but she told the physical therapist on three occasions that she was mowing. She said, I'm not going to my exercise at curves. It says in the physical therapy notes that she is. The physical therapist said, by looking at her, she looks fine. I doubt if she's compliant in home exercise, and her subjective report is not consistent with what I see, what I observe. So clearly there is evidence that would support the jury's verdict in this case, and I believe that there is no evidence that the trial court abused his discretion when he denied the motion for new trial and damages or the JNOV.
And Ms. Seymour, can I ask you to talk a little bit more about Dr. Sabin's testimony? I don't think it's disputed that he said that this accident aggravated her degenerative issues. And he did say, I think, the subjective symptoms matched the MRI. First of all, is that right? Is that undisputed?
That is what Dr. Sabin testified to.
Okay, now you said there were some conflicts in Dr. Yeah. Sabin's testimony or different spins on it.
Immediately above that part of the record, Dr. Sabin, I believe, testified, we don't know what she's doing. She's improved. He also had the physical therapy notes. So he was questioning, too, whether she had ongoing subjective report, especially at the time he did his record review, which was in 2007, and he never did a physical examination. So he was relying on, again, her history, her subjective report, obtained from Dr. Prahl's records, which was in May of 06, a long time after the accident. And he also relied on her deposition testimony, where, as you noted in her deposition testimony, she said, and this is Dr. Sabin, she gardened, she did her activities of daily living, and most importantly, she continued to work as a hairstylist. Dr. Sabin also pointed out that she'd had other problems because of the posture that would require a hairstylist to cut and do hair. So he said, I think it's an aggravation, but he said there's no doubt it's pre-existing because the x-rays from St. Anthony's North on the day after the accident showed degenerative changes. The MRI in April of 05 was consistent with the x-rays. So Dr. Sabin said there's no way that those findings on either the x-rays or the MRI were caused by the subject accident.
Is it your position, Ms. Seymour, that although Dr. Sabin said there may have been some aggravation of this pre-existing problem, there was no real pain and suffering or it was de minimis? Is that?
And that is correct, especially when you look at the physical therapist notes. The physical therapist was hands-on with this woman, the appellant, and he was aware, the physical therapist questioned her credibility. Clearly, the jury could infer from that, and the jury had those records. They could look at that, and during our examination of Ms. Ortega, I spent a great deal of time going through those records to show that they were inconsistent with her testimony at the time of trial. That in September, October of 05, shortly in time after the accident, she had shown improvement already, and that's what Dr. Sabin said too. There was shown improvement in that period of time. As you know, by reviewing the record, there was a big treatment gap. She waited 6 months until she even started the physical therapy. She started the physical therapy, and then she waited another 7 months before she saw the surgeon. And then it was something like almost 200 days that she treated again, that she did not treat. I think the jury, they were advised of that. That was a big theme of the defense, that literally this woman, she's continued to do everything that she needs to do, work, activities of daily living, garden, and the jury could determine that they had a basis to determine that she only was entitled to recover her past medical expenses. Nobody wants to be out of pocket that money, and especially with the no fault being gone. So I think they did that, and then they apportioned a portion of the negligence to her. So she even received less than the actual past medical expenses.
Don't your arguments go more to perhaps the amount of non-economic damages that she should have received? The reasoning, as I understand it, goes this way. She was in an accident. She had a neck injury. She had an injury of some sort, and she certainly suffered some pain, yet the jury awarded her zero damages. Shouldn't they have awarded her something? Perhaps not everything she might have asked for, but something.
They did award her for past medical expenses.
Her medical, yes, yeah, but nothing for non-economic.
And I believe that based on the evidence that we presented through Dr. Sabin, through the physical therapist, through Ms. Ortega, they could have decided, based on the factual basis, that she was not needing future treatment. She had big gaps of treatment, and that it wasn't necessary for her to have non-economic. The other thing too, we don't talk about this in our brief, and it occurred to me when I was preparing, they observed her for 3 days, and she did not have obvious pain behaviors while she was in trial.
Well, counsel, I think that's outside the record.
I would agree. But I think the jury, everything that they looked at, all the records, all the evidence, what they observed, the testimony that they heard, the videotape of Dr. Sabin, Dr. Prahl. Even Dr. Prahl said, I don't know if she has pain. I have to rely on her report. It's her history. I've never met this one before. I've never seen her before. I met her one time. So I believe that there is evidence that would support this jury's verdict, and that the trial court was correct in denying the motion for new trial on damages.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Mr. Lapham.
I don't see any medical evidence saying that she didn't have these injuries. In fact, I think all the evidence pointed directly to the fact that she has these injuries. And we have an MRI, which is objective, you know, so it's not just subjective. Obviously, we talked about earlier the pain is subjective, but we have an MRI, which is objective, that correlates the subjective symptoms. So there isn't a dispute as to whether she had these symptoms or not.
But isn't the issue whether she had, you know, pain and suffering that was compensable as opposed to de minimis? That's the issue, right?
Yeah.
You could be completely undisputed that she has some symptomology, or that the symptoms she's talking about would be consistent with the kind of injury. But the question we have to deal with is whether, I guess from your perspective, you have to show us that there was undisputed evidence that she had pain and suffering. Am I right about that?
Absolutely, you're right.
All right.
Yeah.
So then the issue again comes down to, isn't it a jury question?
It is a jury question, but when the evidence is presented to the jury that she has these symptoms affected her life in the numerous ways that she explained.
But that's where the jury, there was evidence that would contradict that. Her own physical therapist gave the jury some grounds to say, I don't believe this lady.
But the own physical therapist, this was before she even had a diagnosis of what was going on. The physical therapy was before the MRI, which showed that she had the bulging disc, which directly correlated the symptoms that she said in physical therapy that she was having. So I mean, there was one mention of maybe she wasn't complying with her home exercises, but that would, again, meaning if she needs this treatment and this physical therapist is giving her this treatment, she's obviously having some issues, because if the physical therapist doesn't think she's having any pain or having any restrictions or anything like that, why is the physical therapist treating her? I mean, obviously that she wouldn't be treating her for something she didn't have. So, that as a dispute as to whether she was experiencing this stuff. What about the fact that she was experiencing this stuff within the 3 months that Mr. Sitabaku testified that she was having trouble reaching any plates, having trouble opening the refrigerator door? That was before the physical therapist. At least at that point, she had to have some symptoms. And all of these doctors stated that she had these injuries and these symptoms related to the injuries, which directly relate to, you know, the pain and suffering, and the other thing is non-economic damages isn't just pain and suffering. I mean, we're talking about emotional stress. We're talking about loss of time. I mean, she had to go to doctors, that type of stuff. It's not just pain and suffering. So even if we were to take for granted that, you know, maybe there was some dispute as to whether she was having pain particularly, she still went through all this other stuff, and when it comes down to it, when you talk about pain from an injury, we're not talking about she had a scrape and it went away. We're talking about a disc injury, which is going to result in a major surgery where they're going to go in and fuse 2 discs. I mean,
Was disputed too, right? I mean, some of the doctors said she may never need that surgery, as I recall.
I think I have a different understanding of what the doctor said. Dr. Prawl said she needed it. Dr. Sabin said, she needs it. The only thing I would do before doing it is just make sure we do a follow-up MRI, because in, 10% of patients, sometimes that disc bulge sucks back in. So he didn't say that she didn't need it. He said the MRI correlated. As long as the new MRI correlated to the same thing, then she needs it, and it would be reasonable.
And if the disc sucks back in, she doesn't need it?
Yes.
Okay.
But at the same time, we're still talking about the initial injury, that the disc was not sucked in, the disc was pushed out, and she had, she had those resulting symptoms. So, I'm not standing here just saying for sure that, they needed to award her, future surgery stuff. We're just talking about the past stuff that she had to go through. Any other questions?
I don't think so. Thank you, Mr. Lapham.
Thank you.
Case will stand submitted, and we'll issue an opinion in due course.
I'm okay.